Yo, you know what I miss? I miss eating cereal and maxing and relaxing on Saturday morning. I definitely don't miss the boring adult cereal I gotta eat now. No maxing or relaxing is happening at all. But with Magic Spoon, that maxin' and relaxin' can return. It's like magic! Magic Spoon has replicated the flavors of our childhood Saturday mornings. Each serving contains 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 net grams of carbs too. For those homies on keto, it is keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and even soy-free. At 140 calories a serving, it is magic in a bowl, y'all. They got 8 unique flavors, so you got options. My favorite is cinnamon roll, but you could pick from flavors like cocoa, fruity, frosted, or cookies and cream. Let me tell y'all, myself, my homies, my household all love Magic Spoon because we're all trying to watch what we eat. It's honestly magical how accommodating it is to various diets that folks are on. On top of that, because it's got 13 to 14 grams of protein, we can all get swole. Head to magicspoon.com/bomb to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try the magic for yourself. And be sure to use our promo code BOMB at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/BOMB and use the code BOMB to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Hey, everybody, it's Tuesday, April the 4th, 2023. Haha, actually, April Fool's, for Grub and I, we're time traveling. That's right.
Ooh.
Whoa.
That's the sound you make when you time travel.
Exactly. You couldn't hear it in the DeLorean when Marty was like driving to the future, to the past.
Drive into the future in those movies. Drive to the future.
Drive to the future. Even though it's called Back to the Future. The second one. Wait, Back to the. Shouldn't the first one be Back to the Present?
To the Back of the Future. Then it's Army of the Back of the Future. Then War of the Back of the Future. It's really weird.
Right. Yeah. Christopher Lloyd, though, killing it in all of those movies. Christopher Lloyd, absolutely. I think he would have been good in Rise of the Planet.
Man, I would have loved to have Christopher Lloyd in that. Andy Serkis is directing the next one, and they should get Christopher Lloyd in that.
Yeah.
Do you want him as a human or as an ape?
Ooh, both. Just do both.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Like there's an ape that looks kind of like him as a human that he has to interact with, and that gives him a little bit of pause. Just like I'm going to pause and remember what we're doing here, because today is the Giant Bobcast, folks. It's a light show. It's a light week on the site. And I say that, but it's probably not going to be a light week on the website. Joining me, as always, co-captain of the ship, Jeff Grubb.
I'm rubbing Kirby's feet for good luck. They're weird and they have a weird texture, 3D printed texture, but I'm rubbing them for good luck. Getting in those toes.
Get in those toes. Jeff Backler, Dan Reichert, Lucy and Tam are all out on assignment.
They really are
this time. Like they're all spread out. Grubb and I are like late to the party, and we will be traveling on Tuesday, which is when you're listening to this. So hence the pre-recorded bombcast. But nonetheless, Grubb and I have some fun stuff to talk about. Some news. We got some emails. We got a game to talk about.
That's right. The game.
The game. But before that pops off, this past weekend, Grubb, was WrestleMania weekend. And I know that you, me, Mitch, and Dan will probably sit down and gab about what had happened during WrestleMania nights 1 and 2. But Grubb, any quick thoughts you want to touch on before we get going with stuff?
Yeah, I thought... there was a lot of good wrestling. Yes. There was a lot of good payoffs, and maybe that's why I know a lot of people were very upset with the ending of that last match and what happened with Cody and Roman Reigns. And I also think it wasn't a very well booked or well told story in for that match, at least down there at the end. But everything else that happened throughout two nights of WrestleMania was pretty much exactly how anyone would have predicted. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with that for WrestleMania. Maybe it should just be like all the stuff you want to happen is happening. We're giving it all to you. But to me, it felt like they were setting up like we're going to do everything predictable except for this last one. Everyone thought it was supposed to go one way and it went the other. I mean, that's not really a good reason to do it, though, but I think they might have a good reason. I think that they aren't done with the Roman storyline yet, and I think there's actually more to do there. I think you have Roman sort of feeling the pressure and falling apart, and it could fall apart when he's already lost the belt, or it could fall apart while he still has the belt, and I think it's more interesting if he still has the belt when it falls apart. I have no idea if they're going to be able to pull it off. We'll see if they even start that tonight. I could they could be going in a completely different direction and it could suck.
Yeah.
But I think there's a chance they're setting it up for something that could continue to be pretty good.
Yeah, I think I'm in a similar camp. Like, I'm not of the wrestling fans to blindly trust WWE.
Yeah,
and,
no way.
And just be like, oh, we'll just wait and see. because they've mismanaged the main stories and the main cards so often. And like, hell, it took how many years to finally get Roman actually over with the general audience?
Literally like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. And then like you have like a white meat baby face like Cody Rhodes. And yeah, I agree. Like, sure, he won the Rumble, but then he came in at 30. There wasn't like a big showing of like, oh, he's really working for this. He just came back and then got this.
Yeah.
And you know,
I thought that would have been anticlimactic, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the promo work leading up to it. And then thing is, like, they had to somehow avoid the Sami Zayn hype. But by no means do I think that Cody is done, let alone.
Yeah, agreed.
Sammy, I know that him and KO won the titles over WrestleMania weekend, but leading up to it, I didn't think Roman was done. I don't think there's all this talk over the weekend about finish your story. I don't think even Roman is done telling his story yet. I would fucking love it if the person that actually takes the belts off of Roman is Jay and not Cody.
Yeah, right.
And
that
and
feels
like,
almost right too. Yeah,
main event Jay, you know, like, hey, I lost my titles, I made sure that you kept yours, and you still treat me like shit, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
There's a lot there, and yeah. I would like it. That's where I want this to go. But yeah, I mean, I and Cody could still be in that as well for sure.
How long is Bruno Sammartino's reign?
Is that the reason they're doing this, to get him over 1,000 days and then get him over, you know, there's three people who've had the belt longer, the title longer.
Oh,
than him.
Bruno Sammartino had it for 2,800 days. So,
whoa. Okay. So they're not going to do
that. Yeah. Maybe we don't do that. All right. Folks, you came here to hear us talk about video games. Grub and I are here to talk about a video game, which I guess inadvertently is this game of the week.
That's not a qualitative statement when something's game of the week.
Before I announce a grub, is there anything that you've been playing that you want to touch on? I know, like, I've continued to play through RE4 on the Steam Deck. I'm doing the thing, Grub, when I was a kid and I'd have my face so close to like my Game Boy Advance. Uh-huh. And just like, oh my god, what's this? I'm fucking up my eyesight so hard right now, but I'm so about it. And yeah, Steam Deck just continues to be amazing. RE4, amazing. If you haven't checked it out yet.
That's what I've mostly been doing is playing RE4 on the Steam Deck, getting in there close, just kind of, laying down sometimes in the beanbagging it up and playing Resident Evil 4. And that's been great. And then it's been not a lot of other stuff, because like, that's the game I want to be playing. I want to get that out of the way before I start. Like, I don't want to like get distracted and not finish Resident Evil 4. So that's the plan. But, you know, occasional other things on the Switch with the kids and things like that. But no, it was Resident Evil 4 and then Crime Boss Rock-A City. I don't know. Did you get anything else yourself?
I checked out against my better judgment and hearing from you and the internet. I decided to check out The Last of Us Part 1 on the Steam Deck.
Okay.
And it is not great.
Oh, no.
I didn't get any wet people or like funky looking Joels, but no, like,
I'm sorry.
The texture loading at the very top is a very long time.
Oh no.
And yeah, you know, it'll like any PC release or PC port, fingers crossed, it gets all of the kinks ironed out eventually. I understand that probably takes a lot of work. But it's one of those things that's just like, man, I probably would have enjoyed being able to play this when The Last of Us, the TV series, was still going on before they wrapped. And now it's just like, well, I'll just go and play Resident Evil 4. I already know what happens in Last of Us. I don't need to re-experience all the sadness. I'll just go get wet with Leon.
There you go. That's the right place to get wet.
That's the real wet gaming this week, friends.
Exactly.
So that brings us already, folks, to the game of the week. Crime Boss Rockade City. This doesn't feel good, Grub.
No, I mean, it's a bad game that's bad in just about every way. But it's the game we played together, and it was the new one of the week, and it is a new release, and I guess people are going to be curious because this game made an effort to get attention, and the ways it did that was not necessarily by producing a quality game product. It was, let's slap together something that, you know, feels like Payday, and it, you know, kind of, it's reminiscent of Payday. You know, it's not necessarily, we don't have to make it like a full campaign or anything. Let's just make it a roguelite, and then let's get Kim Basinger, your Danny Glover, Danny Trejo, Michael Rooker, Michael Madsen, and a handful of other celebrities to just be on the cover and actually star in the game and do a bunch of voice work at the very least. Michael Madsen is in there the most. Michael Rooker is in there like the second most.
Yep.
And then you get a sprinkling of some of these other, although I've not seen Danny Glover yet when we were playing. We never saw Danny Glover, right?
No. It was primarily those two, a sprinkling of Vanilla Ice, a dash
That's
of
right.
Kim Basinger, and then the soft implications of a Chuck Norris popping off.
Gotta be careful with that.
Yeah, please be careful of that, folks. Just, you know, throw away that container. Yeah, you don't need to check the expiration date.
I think that's a good like indicator of what this game is. The audio was breaking when you were playing the game, and Chuck Norris popped up at first, and we saw him, but we didn't hear what he was saying. I've since like looked into this. They are doing some like Chuck Norris jokes. So it's like, that is humor from, we are talking 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I think generously, that's 15 years ago, I think. That is rough. What, like, that is, but that's the level of that they're going for here. And they're not even really pulling that off well.
No.
It's a mess, Jan. Yep. I had okay time playing it with you, even like when it was breaking, even when it was weird. It's like, the shooting is fine. Like, the guns work, and the missions are kind of like the really, really just slim. Like, it is, we're going to start you outside the building, walk in the building.
Yeah.
Like, do the thing with the safe, get the stuff, put it in the van and go. And it's like very condensed, and I'm like, almost like, it almost feels WarioWare-ish, where it's like, here's a micro game version of this. It's like, all right, let's go. But it's never a good game. It's never done well. I'm just like, I'm having fun with my friend Jan.
Yeah. If folks are at all curious about checking out Grub and I play this, the last UPF, Grub and I played a good chunk of Crime Boss Rockade City. You know, we did some co-op missions, and then we eventually dipped into the campaign. And again, like, hey, I fully recognize and admit that there will be parts of our own capture setup that goes wrong, where sometimes like stuff will get delayed or video quality is not completely indicative of the game. Here, though, folks, there were straight up moments where the game was running in single digit frames and just audio not playing for whatever reason.
Yeah, and the frame rate was happening. You were the one streaming it.
Yes.
I was not streaming anything at that time, I don't think. And I was getting single digit frame rates, and it, like, the way I could tell it was with the game is you were seeing me manifest at single digit frame rates. I think the game was just trying to like keep us in sync and failing, and it was unplayable for me. It was literally five frames per second. And And like, it would just happen intermittently with no explanation, no rhyme or reason to it. The game was just breaking. And then those cutscenes would come up, and we were like, is it the, you know, HDCP is it? Is it any, like
a streamer mode? Maybe
streamer mode. Yeah. And so we looked into it. No, it's just the game's broken.
Yeah, and even in the cutscenes where the game would be playing the audio, maybe it was like a pre-rendered or like an in-engine cutscene actually versus a pre-rendered joint. There would still be an obscene amount of texture pop-in happening.
Yes, a lot of pop-in.
Like, at first, we thought there's a shot of where Michael Rooker's talking to Michael Madsen, and we're like, oh, is the background blurry for, like, stylistic purposes? Are they trying to go for, like, the hue, like the dramatic depth of field thing going on? And then the next shot, we see Michael Rooker's background pop-in. It's like,
at once. Yep, yeah, and it was like, and they were going for a bokeh effect, but it was, it was much more subtle than the entire background is a smeared blur.
Yeah.
Which is what it looked like. And every time that, like, we saw that scene a couple of times, cause it, again, roguelite, mm-hmm. it did the same thing every time. So it's, this just feels, it feels unoptimized and, the game feels unpolished on every level.
Yeah. Folks, if you're, I haven't ever really checked out a Payday game, but you know, based off of the loop of this, this is aping that complete formula. If you're a fan of Payday, just stick to Payday.
Yeah.
Because I can't say to anything quality of life wise or any improvements that anyone has said about this game. And actually, I'd also say, like, the voice performances from these celebrities, they kind of hurt the game more than anything.
I feel bad. Like, I'm losing my voice a little bit. So, like, when I talk about it, it's a little bit of a struggle. It's like, imagine that, but, like, maybe amped up 100 for Michael Madsen, who's just, his entire voice has been shot for life at this point. And not that, like, okay, so he shouldn't get work. He should, but it's like, when you're, the performance is a bit strained because of that. So, yeah. And then, I never heard any of the lines Vanilla Ice delivered because the game was breaking. But I'm sure those are great. I'm sure those are fine.
Yeah. I don't know. Based off of, like, the cast, though, Grub, it feels like, are they trying to appeal to a boomer shooter audience? Just because this feels like the weirdest grouping of people.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like in a, like, one of those sim games where it's like, okay, you have a certain budget. And you have a certain, like, and here's, like, all the people that you can go out and hire to be, like, on your team to, like, you know, make this thing for the sim game. And it's like, okay, well, the budget I have, I can get, or like one of those card games, those games that people post on Twitter. It's like, all right, you have $15. Here are the people that are worth $5. Here's four, three, two, one.
Okay.
And it's like, they had like $7 and instead of, like, getting any, like, $5 person, they just got all these one and two, and it's like, okay, and and that is going to be what we build the entire game around, because that $7 is also the budget that we had for making the game. So it's strange, but it's also, I think they thought this was just a strategy of, well, a celebrity name's better than no name, and maybe, Jim, maybe they aren't wrong, because this game was featured at the Game Awards, right?
Yeah.
And I think because it had celebrities in it, because Jeff Keighley loves celebrities. So it's like, was that a good investment? Maybe, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Because I think the only celebrity here that I have, like, mixed feelings towards is Chuck Norris. I hear that Vanilla Ice can be a piece of work sometimes. I'm looking at all these promotional materials right now, Grub, of like Crime Boss, Rock A City, and with the whole cast featured. There's always a tiny Kim Basinger. Like, she's never full size with any of the other people. She's always super teensy.
She's like their Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the name? Okay.
A Tinkerbell. Yeah.
Tinkerbell. There we go. Yeah.
Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell. Yeah.
Five podcast points to you.
I'm Tinkerbell. That's me when I'm a little and I have my fairy wings.
That's Danny Trejo, actually. He's Tinkerbell. Yeah, I don't know. Like, and like the bits of writing that we were able to hear and see, it's just like, y'all could work on pacing. Because, like,
yeah, they're working from, like, different scripts, it sounds like, is what, because Michael Madsen and Michael Rooker will go back and forth. And it just, the tones are mismatched. And like, that's happening. I'm like, that's like the fifth worst thing that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. But it is, it also is really bad. And all the whole thing just feels really cynical.
We also noticed like the audio mixing on the dialogue too is, it feels off. Like Michael Rooker, and maybe that's Michael Rooker's always going for it. He's incapable of not putting his whole ass into acting, which I appreciate. I like Michael Rooker.
Yeah, I love it.
But there's like one of your handler characters has a very deep voice and just like tonally, it just sounds so mismatched that it's a little jarring. And you know, I guess that could be tightened up with some like quick editing, but
yeah, but this doesn't feel like the kind of game where they're going to get around to that level of fix.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, this, you know, that does it work? Like, can people hear it if they're actually like trying to like turn up their TV? Like, I guess so. It sounds really muddy and bad because like this guy's on the super low register and it seems like you have everything tuned for all these other characters that are talking at a much, you know, a higher, more typical register. And so it's like his voice lines just get all chewed up and no one can hear it. And it's but they can hear it though, right? So then let's go work on these other things. Like, I think this seems like one of those games. I don't think this gets any major overhauls. They probably just fix a few major bugs and call it a day and move on from this thing.
You know, you brought up, Grubb, like this game needs a celebrity attached to it, but I think we talked about on UPF, didn't the Payday games do gangbusters in terms of like sales? Like, didn't they sell stupid well?
Yeah, they're huge, huge successes. Yes, absolutely.
So I wonder, why even try and loop in celebrities if this is pretty much a similar format to those games? Unless they just, you know, they had the engine and wanted to like make an extra buck or something.
I mean, I think it's the back in the 80s, the cheapest special effect was nudity, where it's like your cheapest special effects are nudity and violence, right? And it's like, that's, you know, we can't be Terminator 2, but what we can do is have way more boobs than Terminator 2 did. And that's what we'll do. And that's how we'll get picked up on Skinamax eventually or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think this is kind of what they're thinking here in a similar sort of way. It's like, we can't really compete with Payday. We can make a similar game, sure. But will we get noticed? Well, maybe we'll get noticed if we have and not that that's like a cheap special effect, but I think it might be cheaper than what we're expecting.
Yeah.
In terms of like making a good game, like compared to like putting all the effort into making a great game and then all the work it would take to get that noticed, maybe it is just cheaper to cut a check to Michael Madsen and have him promote the game. It's still very, because again, I don't think it's like people are like, oh man, finally the Michael Madsen fan community is getting fed. And it's more like, why the hell is he up there talking about video games? And then that's what gets people talking. But it still is like somewhat effective because here we are.
Oh, so I was under the impression the whole time the folks that developed Crime Boss was the same developer as Payday, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
No, this is a whole other studio. Yes, this is like them trying to like rip off the concept. Yes.
Well, they completely ripped this off. This feels like a direct-to-DVD bargained movie.
Yeah, it feels like The Asylum, right? The Asylum version of it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, hold on. I'm going to do
In-game Studios is the name of the development team.
So, currently, Jeff, Payday 2
please.
Is, let's see, it is $10. On Steam,
right?
If that is your platform of choice, you could buy the Legacy Bundle for $20, which looks like it brings in all of like these weapon packs and all this other stuff. And that would still be cheaper than getting Crime Boss Rocky City, which is currently $30 on the Epic Game Store. I can't imagine a world where there's any part to recommend Crime Boss Rocky City.
Yeah, like just Payday 2 is still in the top 20 most played games on Steam every day. Its peak concurrence was 70,000.
Wow.
Just today.
Whoa.
That's massive. That's
Jesus.
Huge. Right now, like right the second, it has 50,000 people playing it.
Should we get into Payday?
I would love that, actually. I've always been curious, kind of. I'm like, why is this thing so successful? And now, like, I never played it. Weirdly, playing Crime Boss, I'm like, oh, I think I get it.
Yeah.
I'm playing the bizarro version of it. We need to get into that real stuff. I bet there's a lot to do in there now. So yeah, maybe we can do some Payday 2 stuff. That would be fun. And maybe we are obligated to after showing off Crime Boss so much.
Yeah, I don't like there's parts of playing through that felt like, oh, this could be cool. Like when we did one of the heists and we kind of ziplined into a building, and I realized we messed up because it was just like user error, but like that had the inclination to be fun. And then when stuff started hitting the fan, I'm like, okay, cool. Like this could be really neat where like one of us is like fending off like the bikers or the cops. And then the rest of us are still continuing to like, load up the getaway vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should check out Payday 2.
Yeah, maybe make it like Heat themed, because that's clearly what all these games are going for, right? Is to be like Heat.
Yeah.
And like, okay, I'm down with that. I love Heat. I'm a man. Of course, I love Heat.
I wonder if we can bring in our own masks instead of these weird American clown ones.
Yeah, I think that they have all. I bet they have a lot of cosmetics, right? That makes sense.
John Wick heists on Steam. Okay, yeah, you know what? I feel like the only person that this is going to be a tough game to convince is Dan, especially just to get Dan to stay on task and not and not immediately shoot everyone. But hey, maybe that's just his role in the bank heist, you know?
I adore that clip of him during Murder Island or whatever, where everyone's in a firefight and then it's all over and Dan's like still in another building, like half a mile away. Like, I can't find a scope. Oh, man. Exactly. So, yeah, honestly, that'll just make it more fun. He'll be the wild card.
Yeah. You know what? There's like a bunch of games that I've always been curious about that I've just never had a group to play it with. And maybe we spin that into something. Grubber Lang's taking a quick bricky break.
That's a really good idea because we are going to do Four Swords Adventures, and that's exactly in that same exact category that you just mentioned there, where it couldn't get the players together. So let's do Four Swords Adventures, and then we'll maybe take that into something else. Because you're right, there's a list of games that are like always in the most played on Steam that would be very fun to play with other people.
Here I'm pitching this now. This will not be the show title of this. Of us checking out Four Swords, then checking out perhaps Payday 2. Because, you know, Siege is another game that I've always wanted to get into.
I love Siege, so we can play some Siege. That'd be great.
These are games I've been curious about buying, so let's call it Buy Curious.
That's right. I love it. Say it.
That's right. Maybe coming soon, we're working on the title, Buy Curious. Because, you know, we support
it.
It
almost has to be the name now. Oh, man.
If we had a designer that could mock that up for us, that'd be great.
Oh, man, that's very good.
I'm just going to hit Photoshop after this on the plane and just...
it'll be great. Add that to the to-do list.
Because all right, let's get a working list real quick, Grub. So,
yeah.
Four Swords, hey, I never had a bunch of friends that had their Game Boys in a GameCube to want to play that. Right. That's something I've always wanted to check out. I guess Payday 2? Siege is on the list?
I've never played Phasmophobia. I wanted to play Phasmophobia at some point.
Yeah, I could get into that again. Yeah.
Let's see. There's I'm like going through like the most played on Steam and seeing if anything pops out. It might be fun to do something like Arma, like Arma 3. That's like realistic. I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah, I feel like it's a unique vibe we'll get because I feel like you and I are generally down, but then Dan is the wild card, and then Backlar is like, why do I gotta do this?
Yeah, I don't wanna this. This doesn't seem like it would go well with my craft beer.
You guys aren't playing right. What are you doing? all right. Okay. That's all right. Well, we got more content in the pipes then. Jeez.
Cool. Well done.
Folks, something that will be game of the week very, very soon will be Nintendo World. I'm very much looking forward to it, Grub. I love theme parks.
Yeah, me too.
I hope the process goes smoothly and that we're able to do all the things. I hope we can eat at the Toad Cafe.
Yeah, me too. So it does seem like we'll have to get the app. Okay. And this is what I'm going. We got to like look this stuff up to be sure. It seems we got to get the app and we all got to get up at the same time at like 6 a.m. and like when the things open. Yeah, and that's fine. And then we just get on the app and like, all right, we're all trying to get reservations at the same time. And then whoever can get it for all of us or whatever. But yeah, I mean, ideally that'd be great. And we'll just go whenever our time is for that. And heck, I want to eat there. I remember seeing that at the Japanese one.
Yeah.
Like, this looks amazing. I have to go to this. So I don't want to miss out.
I really hope that the, you know what? I'm not going to try and set expectations just because I don't want to be disappointed. I still think it'll be really fun. And I can't wait to buy Mario and or Luigi hats or a Toad hat if they have it.
I'm bringing some cash and leaving some room in the suitcase. That's the plan. Got those kids. I got to get some stuff for. Also, Jay, Waterworld. I want to see that thing. Everyone keeps talking that
have
up.
You never seen it, Grub?
I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I've seen the Indiana Jones one at Disney. I can't remember which one the Indiana Jones one's at. But I've seen that, and I love that stunt show. That was incredible. It was one of my favorite things. And then everyone's like, Waterworld's even better. So I have to see that.
Oh, Grub, you and Dan will eat it up.
I think so.
It is the most you and Dan thing I can think of.
Yeah, in terms of stage, excited.
Like if Dan Reichert were to make a musical, it would just be the Waterworld show at Universal Studios. All right, folks. Apologies again. It's going to be a shorter show across the board, but Grub and I
it is what it is.
We're going to bring you the two man power trip. We're going to keep giving you the good juice. There's not going to be a word doc this week. It'd be unfettered chaos. Because I don't know when I'd be back around to stop it, and I can't let you hooligans keep going unchecked.
Like eventually, like it starts off okay, and it gets worse and worse over time. And it's like if you just let that grow forever. That could turn into like a Skynet like AI that destroys everything.
Yeah. I keep getting emails saying like, hey, you want to allow this script in this Google Doc? And I'm like, I don't know. Sure.
Right. Yes. Like, scariest thing on the internet you can read. Do you want to allow this script? These macros? What?
Someone's mining crypto on a Word doc now? What? All right, folks, we're going to take a quick bricky break, and then Jeff Grubb will be back with the news. And then after that, we got a handful of emails to get to. We'll see ya just a bit. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Y'all ever discover stuff about yourself that you were surprised by? Was it like a Phoenix Down moment where you had some self-awareness to something deep inside of you? Wasn't it good to finally get that out? Homies, therapy is all about getting some self-awareness and context. BetterHelp can connect you to a licensed therapist to take you on a journey of self-discovery. Y'all, therapy can and has done wonders for me. It's been eye-opening to find out stuff about myself and what makes me tick. I can be the best version of me because I've identified the less than stellar bits of me. Also, y'all, it is great to get the miscellaneous stuff you've been holding onto off of your chest. If you've been thinking about giving therapy a try, give BetterHelp a try. The whole thing is online and is convenient, flexible, and suited to your busy schedule. All you've got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get you matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time, too, at no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bombcast today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bombcast. Thanks, BetterHelp. That's the sound of my bank balance soaring because of Rocket Money. It's soaring because Rocket Money has helped your boy find some subscriptions that I have forgotten about for maybe a couple years. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Sometimes it was a subscription to a streaming service that you forgot to cancel, or maybe a game trial for a very popular, massively multiplayer online role-playing game. That stuff adds up, y'all. Rocket Money can quickly find those subscriptions and cancel them. All you gotta do is hit cancel, and Rocket Money will take care of the rest for you. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/bomb. That's rocketmoney.com/bomb. rocketmoney.com/bomb. Rocket sounds. And welcome back to the Giant Bombcast, April 4th, 2023. You come across any good April Fool's jokes over the weekend, Grub?
No, I mostly missed out on it. I was like happy to like not pay too much attention. There was there was just some weird like sports ones that would pop up on April 2nd, like the day after. I'd be like just going through my normal news feeds, and these are the ones that like serve up stuff from a bunch of different sites. So it's like, oh, the algorithm picked this up, and I'm like looking at it like, oh, Connor McDavid from, you know, the best player in the NHL has been suspended for 6 days. I'm like, that is insane. What did he do? And I'm like, oh, okay. Media, like it clicked in place. Oh, they're just serving up yesterday's April Fool's jokes as like still today's news. Like this is a proof that the internet is mostly broken these days. That's what's happening. I don't know. Did you see any good ones? Because I for video games, I mostly did not pay attention.
For video games, I feel like thankfully the industry has moved past some stuff, because I guess just right now it's really, really difficult to discern, like, is this real? Is this a shoot or is this a work? That I didn't notice any. The best April Fool's gag I did come across though is Big Dave Bautista posted like, "Hey, check out my Netflix comedy special called 'I've Never Done This Before,'" and they shot a fake stand-up special where he's completely bombing every single joke.
That rules. Oh my god, I love him so much.
He's like, that's fantastic. Well, I don't care, I got paid $10 million from Netflix, so I'm just gonna keep going. It's like I this seems like a trade fire, but I feel like I would still actually check it out.
I would too. I would love that. There was the murder of Sonic the Hedgehog. Oh, did you see that?
Yes. Ah, damn. I wanted to check this out, but I didn't get time over weekend.
Exactly. I didn't have time to get around to it. But I have it, and it's the murder of Sonic the Hedgehog was basically an April the Fool's release from Sega. Officially, it is a visual novel. It's got some mini games in there. I believe it's free on Steam. It is. Has 9,541 reviews as of today, and it is overwhelmingly positive. People love this thing. It is apparently a very fun murder mystery of like who killed Sonic, I guess. I got to see this thing for myself, though. People seem to be really into it. These are the kinds of gags that I'm super into, actually. People just making stuff that they wouldn't normally make because it's April Fool's Day. That's a good way. That's a good interpretation on the holiday.
Do you think like some studios would like devote like a team to this? Maybe this is like their up and coming team, or like a B team of like, hey, like, let's see what you can do, given like the reins and everything.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. It's a good like sort of use of people's talents when you're trying to get them up to speed, like working with tools, right? Instead of we have a remaster coming up, you can all work on that. Like, okay, well, we don't have a remaster, so what can we do? Just have you all sit around, like, I don't know, maybe make something really small that we can put out as a promotion. Yeah, I think this is a really cool idea. Yeah, this is like a real team working on it. It's very neat.
Because this is published and developed by Sega. So, yep. And I, correct me if I'm wrong, Sega doesn't normally have this style of game where it's a text adventure. They don't have a lot of those in their portfolio, I believe.
I'm like trying to remember who like made. I would say I don't think so. You know, there's the Persona games that are RPGs. And right. Are there any offshoots of those that might be closer to this? I don't think so. Not really.
Yeah, because Phoenix Wright is not Sega.
Right. And the like Virtue's Last Reward and 999. None of those are Sega. And Danganronpa. Danganronpa. I've never played any of these, everybody, so bear with me. I don't think that's not Sega either. So yeah, I don't think Sega really has games like this. I get, you know, maybe it's closest to like Judgment and and the, you know, that series and Like a Dragon series or something like that, but just text based.
Yeah, this is great. I'm thank you for reminding me to check this out, and then I'm gonna go download this and can't wait to talk about the murder of Sonic the Hedgehog while we're at Nintendo.
Yeah, that would be perfect. That's the perfect place to talk about it.
Yeah, I'll sneak in a 40 into the park, and then we'll pour one out in front of the Mushroom Kingdom for our boy Sonic.
This is for our boy Sonic. That's very nice. Very kind.
Yeah, you know, you got to have these gestures for friends, you know?
Absolutely. I got some news here for you, though, if you're ready.
Sure.
All right. Let's see here. E3 has actually really been canceled this time, Jan. Not a lot of news talk this week because we had the short week, but this is something that did pop off there finally and officially confirmed there near the tail end of last week. IGN first reported, and then the ESA and Reed Pop confirmed. And when they confirmed, they phrased it as, we gave it, like, we really tried. It really stinks. It didn't work out because we really tried, but we couldn't garner enough interest is how they phrased it. And that seems to be the problem, is things came together a bit too late for all of the companies that said they would participate to actually commit to participate. And because other companies weren't committing, no one else was committing. And it was this weird catch 22. And then on top of that, it is, they are not saying, oh, and we'll be back again trying next year. There's none of that talk this time. They didn't say, and this is the end of E3. They didn't just come out and say that, but there is no talk of, well, hey, we're canceling this year, but we'll be back with another E3 next year. This is probably it, Jan.
Okay, so that makes more sense as to why I saw so many folks in our circles lamenting about the death of E3. Because in my head, I didn't pick up on the fact that Reed Pop didn't mention anything about E3 next year. I guess I just, for some reason in my head, I just assumed that E3 would always kind of be a thing, whether it is, or at least the name would continue to be a thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the name has a lot of cachet, so you figure that they would be able to pull something in with that. And maybe they do still. Yeah. But I don't know if Reed Pop actually stays involved, because essentially Reed Pop failed to execute on a contract is what happened here. And that's, so yeah. do they like lose the contract now? That seems like a very likely scenario of what is going to have to happen. You know, maybe the ESA is like, well, we'll forgive it. We'll try to figure something else out. But then is Reed Pop interested in trying to figure that out? It doesn't. I doubt it.
And, you know, there's already probably a poor taste left in a lot of publishers and developers' mouths. And you know, games media as well, after like the last E3 put on by the ESA, of whether or not, is it worth it to fly folks down here? Is it worth it to have like a huge stage booth and rush development to try and get assets for the show, whether it's like a playable demo or like another trailer to added to a showcase? That I think everyone's right. I think E3 may be dead, because the name now just has a very, very poor connotation. I mean, with Reed Pop, I feel like PAX has a very positive rep with publishers and devs. Like, they understand that, okay, PAX, this is something really for the gaming audiences. We can really cater and build something towards them. We can just put something out that's already ready, a demo or just some type of booth, just goodies. But E3, I feel like I can't see too many folks running and clamoring to get back there, especially in the world we live in now, Grub, where, you know, we have states of play. We have Nintendo Directs every now and then. Microsoft is starting to pick up the pace and do their own thing now. I just can't see a justifiable world now where, other than a Keighley show, that devs and publishers are rushing to get stuff ready for a big tentpole thing when they can dictate the pace now.
Yeah, I think you laid out exactly what happened here. This is a thing that just doesn't make as much sense anymore. And I mean, the big issue, and again, you mentioned this, getting those assets ready is, you know, we say game development is taking longer than ever, right? Games take longer than ever. And that also extends to just getting assets ready for a show like this. So creating a demo is a you know, that is a 6-month disruption at best. And it's like half a year of trying to get this thing together that is not necessarily going to contribute towards getting us towards a release date. So really, we're elongating the entire process of making this game to make a demo. A lot of times that still makes sense, but that's less and less frequently. Yeah. And that's true across the board for about every developer and publisher. So there's a lot of these, there's fewer games to even show up to these shows than ever. And even trailers where it's like, well, we'll just show a trailer or something. Those trailers are also very time intensive, even if when they outsource them to outside companies. I asked about this in the last year, kind of like leading up to this E3 and trying to figure out like, oh, that Sony showcase that was supposed to happen late last year. Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't because a lot of developers weren't ready. And it's because even trailers can take a very long time and distract development teams. And those distractions are more costly than ever in a world where games take 5, 6, 7 years to actually get out the door. So that is, that's not the entire like lifeblood of E3, but it's a huge part of the thing that a ReedPop could have sold. It was a huge reason why a lot of us pay attention and why a lot of us go. The other side of it is this business, like B2B sort of making deals. And that has obviously shifted over a long period of time because, when it started, it was, hey, Walmart, Target, a handful of other, big stores would send in their buyers.
Yeah.
And they would talk to all these publishers, and these publishers would woo them and wine them and dine them and say, here's why our game, our new system is the biggest thing, why you have to have it. And our new games, all these games, you gotta go buy a million copies of all these games. Because that is how the business worked. It was, and that's why pre-orders were so important. And now we're just in this completely different world where the next $1 billion game is almost certainly not going to be the next new one. It's not going to be some game that you pre-order. It's going to be some game that came out of nowhere on early access on Steam and completely like doesn't involve any buyer whatsoever because it's an entire digitized process. And so that side of E3 hasn't made sense for a very long time, but there was still like magic happening there where people would come together and deals would get made to bring games to platforms and to unlock indie darlings and take them to the next level and to show off those indie darlings in front of people for the first time, like Ori and the Will of the Wisps or whatever, but Blind Forest, excuse me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, you guys see that game? You see that game? E3 could definitely do that better than almost any other show because so many companies were coming there. But it's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense anymore. And people have said that for so long. That isn't new news.
No, here we are
and we're on the other side of it now. We really are.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I know that we poke fun at the one Sony press conference that Jeff Bechler absolutely hated, where they shuffled game journalists and other people in games media from room to room. And I know you and Mike had a very positive experience with it.
We loved it.
But I'm just imagining now, like, the months and months of lead up to try and produce that show to get all those puzzle pieces to line up. And this is now outside of the game development aspect, right?
Yes.
A lot of the Last of Us stuff could have already been produced or like those assets could have been ready. But then now you're talking about putting on what is ostensibly like a live show that is not your prototypical standing in front of an audience. This is like trying to be a curated experience, almost an escape room for Jeff Bechler type of sense of show, which is not easy by any means. Because then
it's expensive.
It's expensive. And I think, I don't know if the big publishers like Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony, let's throw an EA, maybe a Ubisoft as well. I don't think they want to factor in that spending into their budgets anymore.
They don't. And I think, I think that's the story of what kind of happened with Sony is like Sean Layden, an American, someone who'd been going to E3 for a long time, saw E3 as a worthwhile investment and worth all this cost. And then Sony's like looking around just not too long after. And they're like, hey, we can probably save a lot of money. Like, who's good at cutting costs?
Yeah.
And Jim Ryan rises to the top and they cut a lot of those big executives. No longer at Sony, Andy House, Sean Layden, a whole bunch of others. And it's like, okay, they all left and they have really scaled back their presence at a show like that. Instead, they're doing things much more cheaply. They're not even doing like PlayStation, you know, the PlayStation Experience PSX anymore. It seems like they just kind of, their events team mostly just scaled that entirely back. And it's like that probably saved them a lot of money. And this is a company that's very interested in pinching pennies, because the money that the profit that PlayStation makes is the most important thing to Sony as a corporation. And it's like, it was probably a very easy decision to be like, hey, E3, that is an expense. What value do we get out of it that we can't get from other things much more cheaply? None. It's probably the honest, like, cold answer. Yeah. And I think that's not exactly like 100% true. I think there was a value to these companies coming to the same space and showing things off at the same time, ostensibly against one another. But like that competition, obviously, I think bolstered everybody and brought everybody higher and really brought more attention to the industry overall. And that was the real value of E3. But that is a hard thing to sell to a company that's trying to save money. That is not in our interest. That has nothing to do with what our shareholders are investing in us for. We got to worry about our own. And it's like in that world, E3 was always doomed to end up exactly here.
Yeah. And I mean, even here on this website, the conversations after E3s have gone by is like, hey, like who had the better showing? Who felt the most like they had the strongest presence? And that conversation, whether or not we're trying to pit these companies against each other, those conversations eventually, and they do wind up happening. And that can be an unnecessary stress for a lot of these big companies of like, all right, we didn't need to look weak in front of Sony. Like, why would we even subject ourselves to that this year? Or Nintendo being like, we don't have a lot to show compared to those other two or whoever else. Let's just skip it. We don't have to do it. The other thing I want to touch on is this got me thinking, and I think from the games media side of Twitter and some of the publishers and devs that I follow, I think the thing that everyone is lamenting the most is like, hey, this was E3 was a time where I got to meet all of my team, or I got to meet these people that I actually know, put names or faces to names. Finally, like a GameSpot, you know, there was a bunch of folks that I worked with that I've never seen, and I get to actually like, oh shoot, I know you, what's up, dude, type of things. And you know, a lot of this type of thing, these interactions happen at PAXs. But the problem with PAX is there's East, there's West, South. Which one do you go to? Which is the main one, or which is supposed to be the bigger one? But at E3, it always felt like this is the big event to go to, where everyone will be here. So what I'm proposing, folks, what I'm proposing here is we just have like something akin to like a music festival, right? Where it's just like, hey, these 2 days, everyone in games, everyone, just come by. We got hot dogs. You have to buy two of them at a time though, to get across. And then like, you know, maybe some, not necessarily an award show or whatever, but like a festival or something.
We could have like a, you know, backyard wrestling.
Yeah.
We could call the event The Gathering.
Yes.
You know,
it'll be magical.
There'll be lots of free beverages. Like we could maybe get a Faygo sponsorship.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, we could, why don't we just partner up with the Juggalos? Let's just ICP Gaming, the Juggalos and the gamers together at last. Let's fucking go.
Like, hey, you know, I know Kinda Funny does their indie a showcase with like smaller devs. Let's just get any and everyone that wants to show something. Hey, you got a weird mobile game? Cool. You're on stage with Phil Spencer next. and it just seems like I think that is actually the sad part of like all these folks that work so long in the industry or put in countless hours wanting to have that celebration at an E3, whether you know the game lands or doesn't land, misses landing, winds up getting delayed to oblivion. I guess that is like that moment for a lot of people to have that, and I think I am sad that a lot of folks won't have that moment of like, I made it to E3. I feel validated.
Yeah. I think the thing that made E3 different for me was you would go, like we were supposed to be there. That's a big difference between this and GDC. GDC, it's like, that's the game developers conference and I'm not a game developer. Come and talk to me. And it's like, I'm like encroaching on their space. E3 is neutral ground. We are all meeting there on the same footing. And so when you go to the Fig or something like that, it's not like, I got to try to like, you know, make myself valuable here to someone. Like, here's why I'm here. And here's how I can be of use of your time. And maybe you'll get a story out of it. Like, it's like the pressure there. It's a little bit gone. It's like, no, we all just work today. And now we're all just taking it easy, or you know, we're hanging out and finally meeting up with friends. So it's much more likely that a game developer is just going to come up and talk to me at E3. And that happens so often, so many times where it's like, hey, I work on this, I work on that, and I know you from this or that, and or even they don't know me. It's like, well, what do you do? I'm like, well, I'm a games journalist. We start talking, we hang out all night. And it's like, that happened multiple times. And it was like, cool, like make friends that way and learn a lot more about the industry from those conversations than you really do from just about anything else. Like it's hard to overstate the value of all that. Yeah. And it's that we will maybe try to find ways and things for that to help it happen elsewhere. But I think it's going to be a little bit less organic than it was at E3.
Yeah. I don't find like, even with Summer Game Fest still happening, I don't find that as like the replacement, you know, like
definitely something different.
It's a different vibe completely. Not saying that Summer Game Fest last year was bad. It felt different than what an E3 normally felt like. And maybe that sentiment will change as the years go by. And if Summer Game Fest continues to grow and grow. It just felt different. It felt like a summer vacation rather than like working the summer that E3 feels like.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see what things look like going forward, but it's going to probably keep being a mess. I mean, we know this year that some companies have already started slotting into that time. You know, Microsoft and Ubisoft now. So it's Microsoft with Bethesda stuff and then Starfield on Sunday and then Ubisoft on Monday. I think I expect a lot of other companies that were considering E3 to show up around that same time. One of them being Konami, that was going to be just like, hey, we're going to be at E3. And so, well, okay, well, when are you still going to do your show? And now where's your stuff going to be? And it's like, do you just like rush to a Summer Game Fest? Well, probably not, because Jeff Keighley and Konami, after the whole Kojima thing, probably don't have that great of a relationship anymore. But well, maybe it's time to put that stuff behind you, because what other choice do you have? Well, I guess they'll have to do their own. Like, there's all these considerations. It's going to be a mess. We'll try to keep up with it, though.
Yeah, it is going to be a mess. It is going to be a mess. Let's be real. It's always been a mess.
It's always been a mess. And now it's the brand. It's the summer game mess. Look out for it, everybody. all right, so let's move along here. PSVR 2 projected to sell fewer than 300,000 units by the end of March. That was according to Bloomberg. Really, the number was around like 270,000-ish units. This is below the other internal estimate that Sony was reportedly targeting. This also came from Bloomberg a few months ago, and that number was 2 million. At least that's like how many they were producing and planning to ship for this first period, this launch period. Sony at the time, when that original report came out, said, we have not lowered our production numbers. And it's like, well, the number was that Bloomberg was talking about was shipment numbers. So it's like, okay, they weren't going to ship 2 million, but they are still producing 2 million. All that seems to be out the window now, because it's not even selling 500,000 in that first period. Now, they clearly these things could still sell, but this was the launch period, and this is what Sony was trying to get, at least again, according to Bloomberg. Even if you throw out that 2 million number, though, 270,000 PSVR 2s seems like a pretty slim like install base to be making VR games for, right?
I just feel like that was a punch to the gut when you reminded me that the internal goal was 2 million. 270,000 is definitely not 2 million.
We're on the we're closer to like 10% than like even like half of that. And you could see like 2 million, that is the ideal. We could build a business model around that. That is a good start. That's a great start. 1 million. Well, that is, you know, that's an install base. Like a lot of things had like a lot of systems that went on to have great long console lives had 1 million systems sold in the first couple of months. That would be great. 270,000. Oh, okay. Things have to change here. That seems to be where we're at. The reporting here is that they talked to an analyst, and the analyst believes that they'll have to lower the price here very soon to fix things here, to avert disasters, how that analyst puts it. So again, that's not coming from Sony, but I also don't see what other choice they have. I think this holiday, there's a deep discount to try to move some of these things to get that install base to where they want it to be.
You think it's happening as soon or as late as the holidays this year?
I think that they try to ride it out for a little bit here because, you know, you can't undo the you can't undo things like, okay, well, our first discount or whatever. I mean, maybe they have a summer sale or something like that. Mm. That's possible. But I think they're also want to like try to pair things up with like, here's another new game is launching and we're doing the holiday sale. And all they try to line all this stuff. So it almost feels like here's our next chance to relaunch this thing and have a strong holiday. I think that'll take some time and I think that'll be the big plan. But I also think once that holiday period is over, I don't think they raise the price back up or most of the time it's just on sale at that discounted price. But okay, it is $550. It's $600-ish with Call of the Mountain, which is the Horizon VR game, the climbing game. That is already a pretty actual like low price compared to other similar headsets that are $1,000, $1,100 on PC. My assumption here is Sony's already taking a loss on these things. They don't have a lot of room to discount it or to cut the price. So like what are they really going to do here, Jen?
I don't know. I absolutely don't know how to make it a better value. Because, like, yes, it will eventually get reduced in price, but, you know, it's how much is it going to, when is it going to happen? But even then, when we do get to that point, say it does happen in November or December of this year, and they do choose to ride it out, what is coming to PSVR 2 that's going to make me want to get it, even then, at a reduced price?
Yeah, we don't know. Right now, there's claims that a lot of games are in development. We haven't heard about many of them beyond this early launch period. But it's like, yeah, okay. Well, I guess we'll give you some benefit of the doubt. I'm not giving you enough benefit of the doubt that I'm running out to buy one.
Yeah.
But at least I'm still like keeping an eye on it. And like, okay, if you promise Astro and a handful of other things, and the price maybe does get a discount, if all those things line up, maybe I do make a move. But That's like a lot to ask for, I think, because the price is going to be hard to cut and they are already investing so much in PS5 software that do they really have enough to spare over for PSVR 2 software, especially in a market where there are fewer VR developers than there ever were before. I don't have a lot of faith that all of those factors are going to be able to line up for them to be able to like resell this thing and get people excited all over again.
No.
We will also keep an eye on that. Well, they will probably have a showcase here for soon. That's, you know, again, I keep hearing that PlayStation will have a showcase before the E3 timeframe. E3 now, I guess we'll just say Summer Game Fest now. at that show, I would expect that at least a couple of minutes we'll have VR games. Because if not, then, if it doesn't, that's also strange.
That'll be very telling.
Yes, it'll be very telling very early on. Kind of like, if there's not stuff there, I'd be like, did they abandon this thing already? But I mean, maybe that was just never the plan, but that's weird because they need to be selling that thing every chance they get.
Yeah.
Just a couple other stories here. Xbox Series X gets a Diablo 4 bundle. This was mostly noticeable because people were upset that it didn't include like a special edition version of the Xbox Series X. It's just a standard Xbox Series X, and then it comes with Diablo 4.
Oh.
That Diablo 4 version, Diablo 4, I think does have a few like bonuses for in-game, but people want a fun design on the console. Something we haven't had yet, really, with the Xbox Series X or the PlayStation 5, right?
Oh, yeah. Now that you mention it, I guess that's something that hasn't really popped off. Like, because I definitely remember wanting that Spider-Man PS4.
Yes, exactly. I want one of those things, but it just seems like early on in this generation, these companies are like being careful with their production and not disrupting it by offering up special editions. At least that seems to be what's happening.
That makes enough sense. But I guess like with the Xbox, I feel like haven't those been more readily available versus PS5s that Microsoft perhaps could make a funky one.
Yeah, the S has for sure. The X, I still have like struggled to find it. It's still been more readily available than the PS5. Yes,
sure.
But I just this past week, we had the MPDs last week, and Matt Piscatella pointed out that PS5 is actually, I mean, they're much more available, but the supply is not like, oh, they're just on every store shelf. They said both the PS5 and the Xbox Series X are relatively still pretty hard to come by when compared to like historic trends. Mm. So I think that these companies are both like, we don't want to, yeah, just because things are more readily available doesn't mean we want to mess with things. We kind of maybe want to enjoy a few months of just selling these things as they are and finally getting the install base where it could be this entire time. Okay. Poochie is maybe coming to Mario Kart Tour. I'm excited. I love Poochie. Yoshi and Poochie. Poochie's my boy. Poochie is the dog from Yoshi's Island, been in a bunch of Yoshi games now. And there is a glimpse of Poochie in a Yoshi track that is coming to Mario Kart Tour. And you can see Poochie behind sort of like a pipe, and you can just see a little bit of him. It's like people like spotted it because it's actually pretty small. But it's like, no, that is Poochie. And so the implication being, hey, Poochie will come to Mario Kart Tour. And now I've said Poochie a lot, but I'm not going to stop, Jan. Poochie, 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 Poochie.
Poochie gang, Poochie gang, Poochie gang.
Poochie coming to Mario Kart Tour. And then
it's a weird dog grub.
Oh yeah, how do you feel about Poochie? I like how weird he is.
I mean, like, I thought the Pikmin dog was weird. No, this is a weird dog.
The Pikmin dog is definitely Poochie like, but I like that weird dog. He worked if you stand on his back in Yoshi's Island, like if you whatever direction you face, he's just gonna run that way, and you just sit stand still. It was weird. It took me a long time to understand like that's how it worked. I'm like, should I be pressing right? And I could just run off his back. All right. Then the last story I just have listed here is that the early Mario reviews are pretty positive for that movie. Mm. You've been seeing the sentiment online, people coming out of the premiere and be like, hey, that was really delightful. It was a thrill ride. I saw the term thrill ride thrown around a lot. The primary things people seem to be happy with. I'll give you a guess. Do you think it's Jack Black?
I would say that it'd be Jack Black or someone else in the movie's performance is like killer.
Jack Black's performance is killer. People love Jack Black. Also, Charlie Day as Luigi is getting called out pretty frequently. Oh, it's been a very good time. And like that sounds right. The word on Chris Pratt is adequate. Serviceable and adequate, which is, you know, the highest of praise. And the music is also getting called out. People said the music is very good. And then, of course, the Easter eggs. Tim Getty's over, kind of funny, mentioned he doesn't think he's ever seen a movie with as many Easter eggs as this one. Although he pointed out they are good Easter eggs. It's not going to be distracting. So the early word is people are happy with it. There's at least one review that said they didn't like it. And it said it was too goofy. And I think that's the I talked about with Mike about this on Game S Mornings today as we recorded this, but on yesterday's episode. And I'm like, he's much more familiar with Illumination than I am. And he's like, they have a tendency to be much more goofier than Pixar. And that could be not some people's taste. And it does seem like that is probably what happened in this, although it does feel more constrained than most Illumination movies. Like, this isn't going to be a Minions. But it's like, hey, if that's not your style, this could still maybe rub you the wrong way. But for most people are going to say, hey, for families, they're going to love this. And that's my expectation.
It just feels like such a weird criticism to levy against the movie of like, you know, the studio that's behind it, you know, the property.
Yeah.
You know who the target audience for this movie is. This isn't going to be like, it could pull at your heartstrings. Puss in Boots for folks, the Last Wish. That's a surprisingly an emotional movie.
Antonio Banderas always makes me cry
all the time. But like, you know, hey, go in with a good head, folks. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, I'm exactly. Very excited to see this movie. I've also forgotten about Chris Pratt being in it. So there you go.
I'm totally over it. I think, it is still, I still occasionally giggle at the whole thing when I do remember, but I'm not like actively thinking about it at all anymore. Yeah. They gave us the appropriate amount of time to deal with it. And now it's like, okay, whatever. It's a movie, right? People get cast as characters. Ben Affleck's Batman. People thought that was weird. And then now people think it's weird that he's not Batman. So,
I've had multiple friends say that, like, I think Ben Affleck is the best live action Batman we've ever had. And you know, hey, we're still friends to this day, but we all make decisions. I not for me, but I'm glad that Jack Black is good. I mean, Jack Black. So
Yeah, yep, hey. Exactly. And I think he kills it. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't know word that I think that it's actually a musical. So I remember on maybe it was Grubsnacks a long time ago. I did that breakdown of what seemed like an early version of the movie.
Oh.
Well, they delayed it after that. They delayed it. So I think there seems like there's a chance that that movie got changed around. There's also possibility maybe that stuff that wasn't accurate, but a lot of the stuff that isn't related to the music is still in the movie and is still like, so a lot of stuff was actually true. It just is like, oh, the musical bits, like the three big song numbers that were going to be in the movie. I mean, maybe they are, maybe no one's talking about them, but as far as I can tell, it doesn't seem to be that way. So it's like, oh yeah, I guess the movie did change pretty significantly during that last year when they delayed it. And that's pretty interesting. Also very Nintendo of them. but yeah, we're going to be seeing this very soon. I'm
very, excited. Very soon.
I got our tickets. So we're all good.
I'll get the popcorn.
All right. Let's make it happen.
Last thing I want to say about the Mario movie before we actually see it. I know a lot of people have fatigue against building these cinematic universes and would prefer, like, I just want a movie to just be a movie. Like, I just want it to be an insular experience and that's it. Maybe we get a sequel. But I feel like there's so much money and fun on the table to build towards something in the with building for more Mario movies, maybe more Nintendo movies, that maybe this like legitimately becomes an arm of Nintendo where they are building and focusing on more entertainment, which I don't think is a bad thing because I don't feel like that would hamper the quality of their games at all. Like, I would love a Rob the Robot short, you know?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Of him Wally style just stacking a bunch of shit.
That'd now be they great. They have the Nintendo Pictures, that company that is like an animation studio. Hopefully they go in that direction. Those Pikmin shorts I've always talked about, I love those things. So it's like, yeah, if we can get more stuff like that. And those ones were like storyboarded by Nintendo, by Miyamoto himself. And so it's like, that's fun if they could express themselves in all kinds of different ways. I think a universe is always a fun thing. So when I watch a movie, yeah, it could just be a movie, but also it's like an investment of my time. If that pays off in something else, I think that makes it even better, but we'll see. They don't have to make the Super Smash Brothers movie, but if they did, I bet it would do very well. Okay, Jan, that's going to do it for the news I have this week. Again, we're operating on short time, short week, so just a few headlines, but I'm going to hand the show back over to you now.
Thank you, sir. I can already smell the popcorn. Like,
I haven't been to a movie theater in a long time, actually. Avatar is on home video now, so I started watching it last night. I couldn't finish it, but I am very into it. It is so good. It is so good. I love it.
I just want to swim with a tulkun. First, I have to learn how to swim, and then I'll be able to swim.
Beautiful,
with
yeah. That stuff, all that. Every time they swim with the tulkun, I'm like, oh my god, this is maybe one of the most beautiful things I've seen in a movie.
I absolutely can't wait. Maybe we'll make it a double feature, and if whatever is still playing in the theater after Mario, and we do our jazz with Mario, maybe we'll just sneak into another theater.
That'd be fun. That'd be a good time. I'd like that.
Yeah, we'll just set up a mic and then we'll just live broadcast our impressions of, I don't know, John Wick 4, Creed 3 as we're going.
That Kelsey Grammer Jesus movie.
Oh.
There's a Kelsey Grammer Jesus movie. I can't remember what it is. It's like Jesus Time or something.
Jesus?
No, he's like a hella Kelsey Grammer character, and I think he's like learning about Jesus. Jesus Revolution. That's right. I looked it up in the Kelsey Grammer from USA Today. Kelsey Grammer won't apologize for his faith. Yep. It's okay. All right. I literally don't care, Kelsey Grammer. Apologize for that last season of Frasier. How about that?
Apologize for being the Beast in the X-Men movies.
I'll definitely apologize for that.
All right. Well, now I'm befuddled. I'm going to need to take a quick break to think about Kelsey Grammer and Jesus.
Jesus Revolution!
Jesus Revolution, JJR. and we'll be back after a quick short break with your emails. And we're back with your emails. And if you want to produce any movies based off of religious figures, we're not going to do it. We are definitely not the people to reach out
to. No, Giant Bomb Pictures has already collapsed under its own weight there. We just couldn't make that happen.
Yeah, we got it to production. We were storyboarding, and it turns out everything somehow became an adult movie.
We just couldn't help it.
We just couldn't help it. You know, all of us even stayed outside of the planning room, and the storyboard still came out the same.
Mm-hmm.
But what is never the same are your emails, and you can send your emails to bombcast@giantbomb.com. We'll try and read them if we receive them in a timely manner. And I just want to say, I appreciate everyone's emails, Grub. I appreciate everyone's emails. This is a shorter show, so we're just going to have, read a baby's handful of them. There's a bunch of good ones that I'll probably save for when we're back with a regular decular Giant Bomb cast. But first email comes from Adam from Winnipeg. Hi, Jeffs. I've noticed lately you both haven't been talking much about hockey as you used to. Is something going on? Watching and talking hockey can be a good source of fun. For instance, my team just scored 6 goals in both of their last 2 games.
Oh, my God.
Adam from Winnipeg.
Okay, I get it. Jesus Christ, Adam. Did you notice when, like, as soon as that happened, you were like, oh, I got to email them because it was their teams. That sucked. The Red Wings have been playing very well, and they've been having terrible luck. So, like, you look at the stats, and their 5-on-5 play, which is, like, the normal game, no power plays, no penalty kills. They've been playing very well, like, in terms of, like, goals expected, which is a big thing in tracking how the team's playing. But their actual goals were, like, the lowest in the league. So it's, like, that's just bad luck because the pucks are hitting the net. They're just not going in. And then we played Winnipeg, and Winnipeg actually just kicked our ass. They actually just destroyed Detroit. Ooh. It was a really bad game. So, I guess I'll root for Winnipeg in the playoffs. How about that? They're making it, right? They've been playing very well, I think.
Sure.
So.
According to Adam, they have been.
Hey, listen, when Backler gets back, I'm sure he'll probably be talking because we'll be very close to playoff hockey. Jeez, yeah, playoff hockey should be starting here any minute now.
When does the season normally wrap?
April is when playoffs start. So, there's probably like 2 weeks left of the season. The Red Wings have been fizzling out. So I've been watching the games, but I've not like been paying attention to a lot of the season. I think they probably have like 10 games left. So yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, so that means when he gets back, the Devils will be in the midst of it, and he'll be probably a nervous wreck. And I'll be very happy to just sit on the sideline and watch.
There we go. We'll need like our cold five, which will just be 5 dedicated minutes to hockey. We have half a show dedicated to wrestling sometimes, so it's only fair. It's only fair.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll adjust our sports allotment.
Oh, that's like 6 games left. Okay.
Oh, man, dang. Yeah. That's not a lot. It's not a lot.
Nope, we're right there.
Happy opening day to those that celebrate baseball. Don't worry, folks. One day our beloved sport will be interesting to everyone again.
I'm in a baseball mood this year, so yeah. I'm gonna play some MLB The Show.
You know what, I was thinking this is the year I get back into baseball.
I think that just means I'm in a drinking mood, but listen, who could tell the difference?
Grub, what's the go-to ballpark food for your respective park or whenever you go?
I mean I go for the glizzy.
Oh, okay. Of course
I go for the glizzy. I like a ballpark frank. I do like that.
This is ballpark frank. I'm a garlic fry type of guy, so I'll go for that.
If I ever need a character name for anything, I'm gonna be Frank Glizzy.
Frank Glizzy. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll be garlic fry guy. not ghee, everyone. It's pronounced guy. Excuse me.
Guy.
All right. Next email comes from Danny from MI. Is that Minnesota or Mississippi?
Nope. Keep trying.
Michigan.
There it is.
There we go. Yep. I noticed when you got a little bit offended. I was like, oh, no, it's Michigan. It's Michigan.
Right. Yep. Exactly right.
The stars aligned. If you guys hadn't mentioned it on the Bombcast already, I subscribed to Peacock and my wife went out with friends. I wouldn't have checked out Sunday's WrestleMania. And boys, I was not disappointed. I'm not a wrestling convert, but this was hella fun. There's some great personas and feats of strength, and we're only halfway through. Denny from Michigan. Good for you, Denny.
Yeah, it is entertaining. They're putting on a show for you.
Yeah.
And All of the dumb stuff is very easily, to me, that's the what makes it special. But if it's like rubs you the wrong way, or like this seems, how can people not tell it's fake? Everyone knows it's fake. Everyone knows every TV show is fake.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as just any other TV show. Just it's a storyline that never ends, and the characters are allowed to be larger than life, and then the stories are allowed to be a little bit dumber, and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think as a wrestling fan, you can get easily, well, you can easily work yourself into a shoot, but you can easily get mired in the weeds of the week-to-week television that wrestling stops being super fun, but so like a casual person just checking it out on a whim because they have Peacock, that's great. I'm glad. Like, yeah, witness the pageantry, because this is where it is like amped up to 12.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, the atmosphere was really good at SoFi Stadium.
SoFi Stadium. It's also, it's like, what casual person is going to drop $60 to $70 for a pay-per-view for something they have zero interest in? No one.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like the move to Peacock was a great choice.
Yeah, definitely.
If AEW was on something like, I don't know, what is Warner? Oh, HBO Max? Oh my God. Like,
that'd be very cool.
I feel like that'd boost up the viewership dramatically. Tony Khan, get on it. Stop drinking energy drinks and get on it.
I do believe that they've been very much trying to get something like that to happen.
Okay, there we go. I just need, what's a HBO S show? I just need The Last of Us to have like Evil Uno in it for like one ep.
Yeah, Euphoria just has John Cena just like, what are these children doing?
Please, yes. I need House of Black to pop up on Euphoria as a fever drug dream. All right, next email comes from Dan from North Carolina. Hey dudes, with the release of the Steam Deck, is there any reason to get a gaming laptop? You find yourself ever using a mouse and keyboard with a Steam Deck? Keep up the good work. Much love, Dan from North Carolina, sent from my iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, I think gaming laptops look pretty silly next to a Steam Deck. They are, the battery life on a laptop is like a half an hour when you're playing a game.
Yeah.
They run hot and uncomfortable. You're going to need a mouse anyhow, so you're already getting outside the confines of this device.
Yeah, right.
You're not going to be using trackpad on almost any game. There's a handful of games that would be work fine on, but yeah, that's really limited. The Steam Deck is just such a better design thing for gaming, and it shows. And I felt that way immediately, where I'm like, the Steam Deck is the best, like sort of contained gaming PC that's ever been made, I think. So, I still think that.
I can't justify getting, like, if you have your eyes on a Steam Deck or a gaming laptop and you're just interested in gaming, the Steam Deck is a no-brainer, because eventually a lot of games will become like 100% deck playable. The only reason I'd entertain getting a gaming laptop is if you have an interest in trying to stream or maybe edit video or photos, because you could do that. On a stream,
or if you want to play on your TV, right? If like you're like, oh, I want to, like, sometimes I'm going to be traveling, the laptop will be good. But most of the time, I want it plugged into my TV. It's, well, the Steam Deck's not great for that. A laptop usually is going to be more powerful than a Steam Deck.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, I mean, you got to spend a lot more money too. Actually,
sure.
But yes, but it could be more powerful. I don't know. You kind of can't beat the Steam Deck and the Steam Deck is powerful enough for most games. We're both playing Resident Evil 4 on it.
Yeah. Yes. And it continues to run and look amazing. All right. Yeah. Steam Deck over a gaming laptop. Also, I think I'm grub. You know what I'm fucking over? I am so over light up RGB keyboards and mice. I want all of my devices to just have a dim light.
I'm like, I need a light, especially on like a keyboard. Just give me the like white light so I can see it at night, and that's it.
That's all.
Yep. For sure.
All right, next email, only a couple more here. This comes from Brandon. Hello. Many times I've heard the Bombcast, especially Jan, use fun phrases to describe quantities of things. Example, a baby's handful. I now offer you the bonus phrase freely to throw into the mix, a rat's basket. You know what, Brandon? You get 5 podcast points. We're not going to explain what podcast points are, but you get 5 of them. Grub, you're in the lead with 10 podcast points.
You can exchange them for balsa wood airplanes at that little shop window on the corner.
Yes, yes. Everyone, the leaderboard so far, only have two people. I can't be on the podcast point leaderboard because I'm doling them out, you know?
Yeah, that's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, the commish can't be on. You know what? The gimmick right next to you, she gets 3. So right now, Grub, you get 10. The gimmick gets 3. Brandon, you get 1. So
congratulations, you got some podcast points, you little gimmick.
Man. She called you a man. There you go.
There we go. Hey. I can be the man that my family needs. There we go. Two last quickies here in the rat basket. Aaron from Orlando. Hey, Giant Bomberinos. I'm looking to get into photography. What would you recommend as a good starter camera and lens? This is the weirdest place to seek this advice, but hey, okay.
Here we are.
What would be the best software to start on for post-processing? I know a little bit, but really want to up the game from my phone. Thanks, and keep up the awesome work. Aaron from Orlando. I can't get over, like, you're asking us this, but hey, in all honesty, the shoot answer, I'm not going to give you the bullcrap answer that every photography or videography YouTube channel goes. It's like, oh, the best camera you have is the one you already have.
The best ability is availability.
It's like, that's bullshit, because sometimes the camera you have in front of your hands can't execute on the vision, and you get frustrated. What I'll say, if you're getting into photography, this is a weird recommendation, but I would recommend getting something like a point-and-shoot, perhaps a Fujifilm X100. I know that those are very, very hard to come by lately, but don't get the newest one. Just get an older one. And I find the fixed focal length really helps out with composition. You have to physically move yourself, and you learn how to frame things versus like the flexibility of, like, I'm just going to zoom in all the way. And then when you zoom in all the way, you distort the image quality. It gets super shaky. So if you're physically having to move yourself and just be in the moment, that can work better. As far as what you handle post-processing, there's so many apps. You'll eventually find one that fits in with your work style better. VSCO is fine. Adobe Lightroom on mobile is fine. Getting into the weeds with that, it's even more complicated, because then you may get discouraged that you're not getting your product is not matching what you want. So I wouldn't frustrate yourself too much with that, other than just your normal light touches to an image of, like, fixing the contrast, fixing the exposure, and all that jazz. Grub, do you want folks to ask for hobbies or advice for hobbies they have to us, like how we can properly get them in more?
Absolutely. Ask us about all your hobbies and all the hobbies you're curious about. Hobbies that you imagine that we do that we've never talked about, ask about them all.
Oh, yes. Make assumptions. This is the one time it's okay to make assumptions.
This is it. You guys got to pass.
You know, I feel like Bacalar has thought about getting into RC cars.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I think Dan Riker probably, on that same spectrum, probably has a collection of RC-controlled submarines that he takes out to the lake on weekends.
Mm. I'm going to make another assumption. Grub, I think you like croissants.
I think that you dance the tango.
I feel attacked and read like a book, actually. There you go. Folks, if you need dance lessons, just go to your local community college. 9 times out of 10, they have a course. All right, last email comes from, I forgot their name, didn't put that down, I apologize. Dear Jan Parmesan and Grub, please discuss Crime Boss some more here in the email section. Earlier was not enough to convey what happened on UPF. Please play again next UPF. Love, that is all said from my PC.
I like when people shoot their shot. I like that.
Wow. Speaking about being read like a book.
Yeah.
Wow, they got us here, huh? They really nailed
the
flow
it.
Of things.
Yeah. It's a little disconcerting when people could just know how it's gonna happen. Crime Boss, huh? Man,
should we do another UPF where we rope in those other two, huh?
Yes, we should. Well, yes, we, like, listen, we're vets. We should, like, really kayfabe. Like we should work that as we really like it.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, folks. Anytime we see Dan in this coming week, Grub and I, we're just gonna be working him here. All right. Yep. I know Dan listens live sometimes, but this is pre-recorded, so Dan won't know because we'll make sure that we take up all his time tomorrow, so he doesn't get time to listen to the Bombcast. We're gonna work Dan that Crime Boss is actually really good.
You guys can help us out too. So
yeah,
if you see me slip and like say something mean about it on Twitter, your mind be like, "Oh man, quit!" You know you love it. And like, you're right, I do. It's my favorite. So
yeah.
We're gonna be working them.
I'll tweet like a slash S because you were being sarcastic.
Yeah,
there we go. All right,
there we go. We got each other's backs here, everybody. All right, good. Okay, good.
We're inadvertently gonna work ourselves into the sequel group.
You mean we're gonna work ourselves into the sequel?
Yes.
Where we are actually in it?
Yes.
Okay, well, now I'm on board.
All right, that about does it for emails. Once again, you can send your emails to bombcast@giantbomb.com. This is going to be a weird week. Other than Monday's episode of Game Mess Mornings, theoretically, there shouldn't be another episode this week.
No, I can't. No, I keep thinking about like what I would do, and like, hey, if there was a reason I had to take extended time off or something, should we have like a backup? And I was like, yeah, I have ideas, but that's not set up, and it's not. Hey, we missed some time, and it's okay. Everyone gets it.
Right.
We're doing other things. So yeah, Monday's episode, no other Game Mess Mornings this week.
Yes, no other episodes of Game Mess Mornings this week. We will eventually have a voicemail dump truck later in the week. We're still fielding calls. We're going to be doing that at DreamHack with two of our homies from Fandom. So calls, please send them in. 707-EXIT-FLU. Do have a little bit to be a little bit more gaming centric, but you know, we'll fudge around. And if someone gets
upset, make it fun. Yep.
If someone gets upset, well, hey, that's on me and I'll take the blame. I'll take the bullet, folks.
It'll be Sunday morning. No one will be listening to anyone who gets mad at us. We'll just be like, peace, and we'll just leave.
Done. Yeah. My flight is later that day, so I will literally just leave. We're also going to be doing a bunch of stuff. We'll make sure to put that up on the... What the hell happened here? Why is there Doge on Twitter now?
What? I thought you were going to say, why is there a doc? And I was going to get really scared that they're just like manifesting themselves for each episode.
Grub, if you go to twitter.com right now on the homepage, the Twitter logo has just been replaced with the Doge. This is the dark future we live in.
I don't see it, but let me see here. Yeah, I don't see it.
I'll send it to you in Discord. And then I'll send everyone away as we finish off the Giant Bombcast. Thanks again, Jeff Grubb. And hey,
thanks, Jim.
Thank you to the folks at home. You know, time's a precious thing, and I appreciate you tuning in and listening. And I'm going to review you all 5 stars. Thumbs up.
Check mark.
I'm giving you all a check mark. You know what? All of you get 1 podcast point. All right.
Only one for this week. Big moves.
So congratulations, everybody. We'll catch you next week for another episode of the Giant Bombcast. Goodbye.
Mr. 73.